like to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we should be able to find much encouragement in. We'll read the first 8 verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through verse 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought or prepared us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest or down payment of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The opening word, of course, the word for, shows that there is a connection to what was said in chapter 4, and it also shows that it is a continuation of what was said in chapter 4. And back in chapter 4, Paul, the main subject of chapter 4 was the ministry and the fact that Paul did not faint in the ministry. In verse 1, he says that of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He went on in chapter 4 to mention some of his struggles, some of the troubles that he encountered in the work of the ministry. We see that in verses 8 through verse 12, and we'll look at those verses a little later. And he goes on, he mentions some consolations which he had during these trials, and he mentions those in verses 13 through verse 18, things that gave him comfort. He stated in verse 14 of his belief in the resurrection of Christ and therefore his belief in his own resurrection. In verse 15, he spoke of the abundant grace of God. He spoke of the glory of God. And then in verse 16, he says, for this cause, that is going back to what was stated in verses 14 and 15, for this cause we faint not. This is the reason, he says, that we do not faint. This is what gives us the encouragement not to faint. And then he goes on and he mentions some more of his struggles and troubles. In verse 16, he says that our outward man perishes, though our outward man perish. And then he goes on to say, and the inward man is renewed day by day. And then in verse 17 and verse 18, he speaks of the source of that renewal. Again, the last thought of verse 16 is that the inward man is renewed day by day. And then he goes on and he gives us the source of that renewal. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Again, that's how the inward man is renewed. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Then we come to chapter 5. And Paul continues now in chapter 5 to give reasons why he didn't faint. Give reasons why he didn't quit. He says, for we know. So what he's saying here in these verses and throughout the chapter is not supposition on his part. It's things that he was thoroughly convicted about, things that he was thoroughly convinced were so. And again, these are things that are good to know. But in these first 8 verses, Paul proceeds to mention 2 houses that a child of God has, one on this earth and one in heaven. And that's what we want to speak upon. He talks, first of all, about the earthly house of a child of God. In the earthly house, of course, there are physical bodies. These bodies are merely a house. That's all they are. They're simply a house. They're the dwelling place of our soul. It's where you and I dwell, in these bodies. It's the only way you can live upon this earth, is in a physical body. But he goes on here in this first verse, and he gives us the character, or the characteristics, of our earthly bodies. Notice in verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house," again, that's not talking about your address, that's talking about your physical body. And the word earthly stands opposed to the last word of verse 1, which is heavens. It's the opposite of that. You have the earthly and you have the heavenly. But the word earthly means terrestrial, that which belongs to the earth. More than that, it's that which is of the earth. Because again, we were created from this earth. We were created from dust. It speaks of the material origin of our bodies. They are an earthly house. The word house speaks of the use of our body, what these bodies are for. These bodies are houses. So what is a house? Well, a house, of course, is a dwelling place. So our physical bodies are referred to as an earthly house. That is, it is our earthly dwelling place. Houses are habitations, which is just another way of saying it's a dwelling place. It is our earthly habitation. And houses are where people live, which again is just another way of saying that they are dwelling places and habitations. So our bodies are referred to as our earthly house. And it is where our soul lives. It is where our soul dwells. It is the habitation of our soul. So our physical bodies constitute a house, a temple, a dwelling place, a habitation. That house, our soul, what lives in these bodies is our soul. So now notice here in verse 1, he goes on, he mentions some characteristics. He mentions our earthly house. First of all, it's earthly. That's one characteristic. But secondly, it is movable and it is temporary. Notice he goes on in verse 1, he says, "Now, if our earthly house of this tabernacle," this tent. So he's referring to our earthly house as a tabernacle, as a tent. So our bodies are described or compared to a tabernacle. A tabernacle, of course, was simply a tent, a booth. It was a movable dwelling. It did not have a permanent place. It was a movable dwelling. It conveys the idea of that which is temporary. And that's what these physical bodies are. Our physical bodies are temporary. They are a movable dwelling. They can move from one place to another. So a tabernacle or a tent is a moving house built or used for a specific time frame. Never meant to be permanent. Never were these bodies intended to be the permanent houses of our soul. So our physical bodies, the house of the soul, are not, nor were they ever intended to be permanent dwelling places, but they simply take on the nature of a tent. Of a tent. Now, a tent is very limited in its uses. So it is with these bodies. These bodies have great limitations, and we struggle with those limitations our entire life in this world. These bodies limit us. These bodies limit us in our service to the Lord. We can't be in more than one place at a time. We're limited. And just like a tent has very limited uses, so does our bodies. Tents were very limited in their purpose. They couldn't be used for everything. They were very limited in their purposes. And so it is with our bodies. The main purpose of our body is simply to house the soul. So they're limited in purpose. But not only that, they're only used for a limited amount of time. No tent lasts forever. A tent is only for a limited amount of time. So these physical bodies are not intended to be permanent. You and I are not going to live forever in these bodies. We're going to live forever somewhere. But you are not going to live forever in these bodies. These bodies were not intended for you to live in for forever. Again, you will live forever somewhere, one of two places. But you will not live forever in these bodies. These bodies were never intended to be anything but temporary. Never were they intended to be permanent. So a tent is for use in a particular place. So it is with these bodies. These bodies are of no use in heaven. They're not fit for heaven. They are only of use in this earth. They are limited in their use, and they are of use only in a particular place, and only for a particular amount of time. And a tent, of course, is a very humble dwelling. And so it is with the body. It is a humble dwelling of the soul. So these bodies, this earthly house, is movable and temporary. They're temporary. No matter how hard man tries to prolong the life of the body, it's temporary. It was never intended to be a permanent dwelling place, and is very limited. Not only is it temporary, but it's very weak and very frail. Notice again in verse 1, he says, "For we know that if..." Now, if, of course, is an important word here. It tells us that a possibility can occur. It's telling us that something is possible. A possibility that can occur at any time. And the possibility that can occur at any time is our earthly house, these physical bodies that you and I live in, of this tabernacle, were dissolved. So it is going to happen. These tents are going to be dissolved. They were created to be dissolved, because they were not created to be permanent. They were created to be temporary. Now, the word dissolved means to disunite the parts of anything. It means to take it apart. It is applied to the act of throwing down a building or destroying a building. But the thing to realize here in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." It's the tabernacle. It's the earthly house of this tabernacle that is dissolved. It is not the person living in the tabernacle that's dissolved. The soul is never dissolved. The soul is never destroyed. Only the house in which the soul lives in. That's true whether you're saved or unsaved. Your body is going to be dissolved. Going to be dissolved. It's going to return to dust. But the soul is going to live forever again in one of two places. So it's important to notice that it's the tabernacle and it's the earthly house that is dissolved. Now, death, of course, dissolves the union between soul and body. As long as you and I are on this earth, there is a union between our soul and body. Our soul lives in our body. Death dissolves that union. That is, they're no longer together. They are dissolved. Soul and body are no longer connected. When death occurs, the soul, of course, leaves the body. And that's all that death is. Death is simply the soul leaving the body. It is simply the soul leaving or moving out of the house in which it dwelt upon this earth. So death dissolves the union between soul and body. But it also dissolves the body. But it does not dissolve the soul. Everyone that you have ever known that has left this life, their body dissolves, but not their soul. Not their soul. Only the house in which they lived in. Now, as you read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, you see that Paul had no fear of himself being dissolved. None whatsoever. He doesn't even have fear about his body being dissolved, because Paul realizes that the body is simply the house. It's all it is. It's the house. In chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, "Though our outward man perish." Now, the outward man is what people see. That's our body. These physical bodies. And these physical bodies perish. They are in a state of decay. They are decaying. And they are in constant need of repair. They are in constant need of fixing. That's the way it was intended to be. So this earthly house perishes. It dissolves. So in other words, this earthly house will decay slowly, or it will be destroyed all at once. But either way, it's only temporary. These physical bodies are only temporary. So we see concerning our physical bodies, it's movable, it's temporary, it's very weak, it's very frail. But then notice a third thing here in verse 1, and that is, it is exposed. He says that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, it's exposed to that. Our physical bodies are exposed to all the dangers of this world. We are exposed to disease. We are exposed to sickness. And I realize that we are to take care of our bodies. I realize that. But you cannot unexpose yourself to all the things of this world. It's not possible. Your physical house that you live in is exposed to the things, the diseases, the sicknesses. All of those things that would dissolve the body, and there are many, we're exposed to all of them. We're exposed to all of them. That's these physical bodies. Back in verses 8 through 10 of chapter 4, he talked about some things that we're exposed to. He says we're troubled, that is, hard-pressed on every side, that is, in every respect and in every way, encompassed with trials. We're exposed to that as long as we are in these physical bodies. He goes on, he says we're perplexed, that is, we don't know what to do. It means to be in doubt, in a state of anxiety. We're exposed to that as long as we live in these bodies. He mentions persecution. He said he always bore about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That is, he showed on his body the marks of persecution. Paul did. And again, we're exposed to all of those things in this life. But not only is the earthly house exposed, it is also inconvenient. These physical bodies are inconvenient. Notice in chapter 5 and verse 2. For in this, that is, in this earthly house, in these tabernacles, we groan. We groan. It's inconvenient. This body has pains. This body suffers. And those who live in physical bodies at some point are going to groan because these bodies are inconvenient. They're inconvenient. But not only that, they're inferior. They're inferior to a heavenly body or a glorified body. Notice, in again, we'll read verses 2 through 4. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring. This is a child of God. And you, unless you die suddenly, there will come a time where you will groan, earnestly desiring to leave this body. God brings us to that point. God not only brings us to that point, God brings our loved ones to that point, and we desire that they leave these physical bodies. That's the Lord preparing us. But in verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, our dwelling place, which is from heaven. Now, this house is not heaven, but it is from heaven, which simply means that it is heavenly. If so be that being clothed, that is, with this heavenly body, we shall not be found naked. And what does naked mean? It means you're exposed. So, once we have a glorified body, we're no longer exposed. You see, in this life, we're exposed. But we'll no longer be exposed. And then he goes on in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, that is this physical body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. All of this is telling us is that these physical bodies are inferior to what awaits us. And there comes a time when we groan for that which is new. Verse 16 of chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, showing that these bodies are inferior to what awaits the child of God. Verse 42, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, corruption is inferior to incorruption. Incorruption is better than corruption. Our heavenly bodies are incorruptible. That is, it's better. It's better. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Now, that which is dishonor is inferior to that which is glory. And it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Weakness is inferior to power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. That which is natural is inferior to that which is spiritual. Everything in this life is inferior compared to what awaits the child of God. That includes our body. Notice in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Again, showing everything in this life is inferior. Even the sufferings of this life cannot even be weighed on the same scale with the glory which awaits the child of God. So we see the characteristics of our earthly house, these physical bodies, and we live our earthly lives in this earthly house. It's the only way you and I can live our earthly lives is in this house. Now, if our physical bodies are merely the house, and we're not saying that the physical body is not important. It is important. But it is not more important than the one who lives in the house. Our houses that we live in, I'm not talking about our physical bodies, I'm talking about our addresses. They're important. They're important to us. They have uses. But none of us would say that our house, our address, the place where these physical bodies dwell, is more important than the people who live in that house. That would be criminal, to put a house above the one who lives within the house. Now, we take care of our houses, but they're never more important than the one who lives in the house. That is also true of our physical bodies. We are to take care of our physical bodies, and not to do so is a sin. And that would be another message. But with that in mind, we are never to put our physical bodies over the one who dwells within this house, and that's our soul. The physical is never to be put ahead of the spiritual, because the physical is always inferior to the spiritual. It is always less. It is always less important. I'm not saying that the physical body is not important. I'm saying it is less important than the soul. The soul is always more important than the physical body. But most people put more importance on the house than they do the soul that lives within that house. And oh, how foolish that is. So, while in this earthly house, we live on this earth, and we can do so with much assurance. And we know that this earthly house is temporary. This earthly house is weak, it's frail. We've already seen those things. But as we live in this house, we can do so with much assurance. Paul said in verse 1, for we know. We're sure of this. He said in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And in verse 8, he says we are confident. And I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So while we live in this earthly house, a child of God can do so with much assurance. But not only that, we live in this earthly body as a child of God, we are unable to see God face to face. As long as you and I are in this earthly body, we cannot see God face to face. Now he mentions this in verses 6 through verse 8. He says, while we are at home in the body, as long as that may be, however many years that might be, we are absent from the Lord. That is, we are not in the direct presence of God. We do not see him face to face. We're absent from the Lord in a sense. As long as we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. Then he says we walk by faith, not by sight. So we see as long as we're in this body, we're unable to see him face to face. So we walk by faith. And we're able to see him by faith. But the problem with faith is, as far as compared to seeing him face to face, faith does not see clearly. We do not see him clearly. As clear as we might see him by faith, we still do not see him clearly. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now, while we're in this physical body, we see through a glass, but we do so darkly. But then, after we leave this body, face to face. Can't see them face to face now. These physical bodies keep us from doing that. These physical bodies could not stand. These physical bodies could not hold up seeing the Lord face to face. It's not possible. I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So, while in this earthly house, we see, but we do not see clearly. We do not see him face to face. While in this earthly house, we have the earnest of the Spirit. We're told that in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. We're told it again in Romans 8, verse 26, that we have the Holy Spirit to help us in our infirmities. And as long as we are in these physical bodies, we have many infirmities. And infirmities does not refer to sin. It simply refers to limitations. And as long as we are in these physical bodies, we have many infirmities. We have many limitations. And the Spirit of God is given to us while we're in these bodies to help our infirmities, to help us in our limitations while we're in these bodies. While we're in these earthly bodies, we're to labor. We're to serve the Lord. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 in verse 13, he said, As long as I am in this tabernacle, I will, he says, put you in remembrance. And as long as you and I are in this tabernacle, we're to serve the Lord. We're to serve the Lord in the tabernacle that God has given us. So our time in this earthly house, our time in this tabernacle is temporary. Notice again in verse 6 it says, while we are at home in the body. While we are at home in the body. That speaks of our life upon earth. And he goes on to say, as long as we are in these bodies, we are absent from the Lord. That is, we are not in his immediate presence. Therefore, because of that, the child of God is willing, in verse 8, he is willing rather. That means he has a preference. He is willing rather to be absent from the body. The child of God would rather be absent from the body than present in the body. And the child of God is willing to be absent from the body because the child of God knows what's next. Willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord in a way that we cannot be as long as we are in these bodies. Now, we experience the presence of God, but it's not the same as being in the immediate presence of the Lord. So, we're willing rather to be absent from the body, that's death, and to be present with the Lord. And that's what Paul is speaking of. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians 1, verse 21 through 23. You watch the faces. When a child of God is about to leave this life, and a child of God is talking about and beginning to look forward to leaving this life, you look at the faces of lost people standing around. They think you've lost your mind. They do not understand. They are greatly perplexed by that. They may believe, as most do, that whoever dies is going to a better place. I mean, no one goes to hell anymore, as far as people's thinking is concerned. But they are greatly perplexed at someone who desires to leave this life. That perplexes them because they can't understand, because they do not have what a child of God has. But Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ. As long as I am in this body, My whole purpose of living should be Christ. That is our purpose. That is our purpose in life. And he says, and to die is gain. That is always true of a child of God. Any child of God that leaves this life is better off than they were. It is always gain. It is always beneficial. It is always a plus to them. Just the opposite is true for a lost person. Someone who dies without Christ, that is loss. They lose every single time. They don't gain anything. That is as far as benefit and good. So for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, and that's the only way you can live in this life, these physical bodies, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. There's a conflict that goes on with a child of God. The lost individual wants to live forever on this earth. They will go to enormous expenses to try to ensure that. It's not going to happen. But the saved person, there's a struggle. Because the fleshly part of him wants to stay. But the spiritual part of him can't wait to go. Looking forward to going. And there's a struggle that goes on. And Paul is telling us that here. He says, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. The truth is, it doesn't matter what you choose. It's not going to matter. Verse 23, he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two. That is, dying and living. Now, a lost person, they just want to live. But a child of God says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul knew that. So he says, I like that. I want that. I want to be with Christ. And he says, which is far better. Paul's not having a conflict between what is better. That's not the conflict. That's never the conflict for a child of God. A child of God knows what's better. Death is better. Death is better than living here for the child of God. And he says, he doesn't just say it's better, he says it's far better. And there's no comparison. To be with Christ is far better than any life you will have upon this earth. But then notice his conflict. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I want to go because that's better for me. But I want to stay because that would be better for you, is what he's saying. And that's the constant conflict that saints of God go through. They'll say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and be with the Lord. But I don't want to leave my husband. I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my children. I don't want to leave my grandchildren. That's the struggle. That's the fleshly part of us. But the whole time we know that to go is better. To go is always better for the child of God. And he goes on in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So Paul says, I want to go, but I'm of some use on this earth to other people, so I want to stay. In our life, we had better make sure that our life is of some use to others. And the best way to make sure that our life is of some use to others is live for the Lord. Live for what God has put you here for. And if you live for what God has put you here for, you'll be useful. You'll be useful to others. So, to be absent from the body, the only way to be absent from the body is you have to depart from the body. You have to move out from the body. And that's death. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. It's the only way you can be absent from the body, is you have to depart from this body. And that's all that death is. It is a departure from this body. Even notice in John 13, Jesus speaking of his death, his crucifixion. In verse 1, he says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. It is not only a departure out of this physical body, it is a departure out of this world. And if you leave something, you've got to go somewhere else. And we see, depart out of this world unto the Father. Again, Paul says it the same way. To be absent from the body, to depart from the body, and to be present with the Lord. So we depart from this life and move into the immediate presence of the Lord. It's no wonder that Paul said, that's far better. It's no wonder that he said, death is gain. That's always the case with a child of God. Now, that brings us, once we leave these bodies, that brings us to our heavenly house. And notice, if we go back to 2 Corinthians, and we'll hurry, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. The middle part of the verse says, we have a building of God. Now, I believe, and you don't have to agree with me, and I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I believe that that phrase, we have a building of God, is not referring to our future heavenly bodies, but I believe it's referring to heaven itself. We have a building of God in which our heavenly body will dwell. Now, a building has to have an architect, and a building has to have a builder. We all know that. Any building had to have a builder. Buildings don't just pop up. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. He's the builder. And this building is heaven. But then he goes on, he says, we have a building of God, a house. Now, the house, we saw the earthly house, that's our physical bodies. But now he's talking about a heavenly house. A house not made with hands, that is, it's far superior to anything else, is all he's saying here, eternal in the heavens. Our physical bodies are temporary, but this house is eternal. It's immortal. It's immortal. It will live forever, never to be dissolved. Our physical bodies will be dissolved. Our heavenly body will never be dissolved. It will never be dissolved by disease. Why? Because it's not exposed to disease. It'll never be dissolved by death because it is not exposed to death. In this life, you and I are constantly exposed to disease and death. Not in heaven. There will be no exposure to these things. He goes on. In verse 2, he says, for in this, that is these physical bodies, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, or which is heavenly. So Paul here is speaking of putting on a house, though it were a garment. Covers us entirely. And that's how our glorified body will be. Now both a house and a garment are meant for covering, covers our soul, and it is meant for protection. So this building, this house, is part of what is described in chapter 4 and verse 17 has the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory simply means beauty, splendor, magnificent. But notice it is a weight of glory. A weight is something you feel. You feel weight. And we will not only experience this, we will feel it in heaven. It is dwelling in the immediate presence with God in our heavenly home. And that's what this text tells us over and over. It's what the New Testament tells us over and over. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, ever with the Lord. Again, Paul said to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, to be with Christ simply means complete victory. It's complete victory. There's nothing bad. There's nothing that is to our disadvantage of being with Christ. The one who is absent from the body and present with the Lord is completely better. Completely well. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with them, and they are not missing a single thing in this life. And don't ever think they are. Oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Well, shame on you. They're not missing anything. They're not missing your parties. They don't miss those things. And believe it or not, they don't even miss you. They don't miss me. They don't miss any of us. That wouldn't be heaven if they missed us. They don't miss anything. They are 100% better. So again, to die is gain. In death, you and I, and that's what Paul was talking about in those verses we read there when he was the conflict between life and death. In death, we lose the benefit of that person. The person who has died, the saved person, I'm just talking about children of God, they don't lose anything. They don't lose anything worth having. Not one thing. Now, you and I that are left behind, we lose the benefit of that person. They haven't lost anything. We, to a degree, lose. But that loss only makes us desire more to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So in death, we lose the benefit of that person. And that's in Philippians 2 and verse 27 when Paul is talking about Epaphroditus. He said he was sick unto death, but the Lord spared Epaphroditus, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus wouldn't have lost a thing if he would have died. But Paul said, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. Because Paul would have lost the benefit of Epaphroditus. So when a child of God leaves this life, I believe the world loses something. The world doesn't know it. But the world loses something. The world loses something more valuable than they will ever know. A child of God. When a child of God leaves this life, a community loses something. They may not know it, but they have lost. They have lost something. The person who's left hasn't lost a thing. And when children of God leave this life that you and I know and love, we lose something. And that causes us to have some sorrow. Sorrow for us. Sorrow because we have lost. But we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. It's not the same kind of sorrow. It's a sorrow that also has a degree of joy in it. A joy for the person who has gone on knowing that all is well with them. So you and I, we have no reason, no good reason, to fear being absent from this body. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is what we all look forward to that are saved. We will either leave this life in death, which is our soul departing this body, or we'll be raptured out. Either way, soul and the body are disunited. And we go to a building in heaven. So we thank the Lord what God has done for us in saving our soul. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.